Move to our next case, Great West Casualty, Mr. Davis.
Good morning, Your Honors. As you can probably tell by how slender the briefs are in this case, the parties have been very concise, and according today, I'm not going to depart from that pattern of brevity. My first remark, though, I'd like to acknowledge the panel's clarification on jurisdiction regarding the duty to defend and the duty to indemnify, and we'll accept that clarification. I'd like to move now to the central issue, and it's a very straightforward. And that is that the district court, we assert, departed from the standards that were set by the Illinois Supreme Court in analyzing whether a duty to defend or a duty to indemnify exists. And that's found in American State Insurance versus Hardy Cologne citations in the brief, as well as the recitation of that standard. Again, continuing with that brevity, the court should have looked to the terms of the policy and then applied the plain and ordinary means to those terms to come to its conclusion. When you look at the analysis from the district court, we see that the court did not do that. We believe that's an error. Consistent with that, the court, instead of going to the terms of the policy and applying the plain and ordinary means, applied a threshold reasonableness standard. Basically, the court looked at my Myers' argument, subjectively determined that our interpretation of the plain and ordinary meanings of the terms in the insurance policy was unreasonable, and the court went on then to declare, as a matter of law, that our interpretation was unreasonable, and therefore our argument should fail. This is an error, because the clear direction by the Illinois Supreme Court does not have any other threshold standards that one has. What we're asking the court to do, because the review in an insurance matter is de novo for summary judgment, is to look at the plain and ordinary terms of the policy.
What you rely on are endorsements that provide coverage for additional insurance, right?
Yes, that's true, Your Honor. There's no dispute.
What's the indication that that modified your client's rights?
Well, when you look at the endorsement, and the endorsement is provided in the record as well as in the attached to the appellee's brief, that endorsement starts out in very clear language saying this endorsement changes the policy. Please read it carefully. And that goes on. Before it starts mentioning other things, and says this endorsement modifies insurance provided under the following. And what they specify there is a term called commercial auto coverage part. Myerva will concede that in the policy itself, the 3/4-ton pickup truck that was involved in this accident would otherwise have been excluded from coverage under that commercial coverage part. But this endorsement expressly says, oh, wait a minute, no, we are going to change that. And then later, when it says, what is the description of the covered auto, I won't read it all, but the language in pertinent part says applies to all trucks, which would of course contemplate a 3/4-ton truck. And that's in part how we get there, Your Honor. Moreover, one of the things that this endorsement
does... Well, what's the sense of it? Well, why would adding an insured affect the rights of the previous insured?
Well, Your Honor, by our understanding of what Illinois law would be, is that it specifies that you're supposed to look at not only the policy,
what's the sense of your position of, but why would an insurance company do this?
Well, I can't second guess the motives of an insurance company, because
the contract to presume to have some kind of rationality to them, not to be completely zany.
Correct, Your Honor, but that's why, when interpreting insurance policy, the doctor...
Why would Bushman, even your argument is, Bushman got more coverage because of these additional insurance being added.
Yes.
That's your argument? But why would an insurance company do that? Why would it, in extending coverage to two additional companies, whatever they were, extend the coverage of the original insured?
Well, Your Honor, I can't give an answer to what their motive would be, but that's the reason the doctrine for reading insurance policy is the way that it is, that it is read to be construed when there's ambiguity against the drafter, and the insurance company is the drafter. I don't know that the motive of the insurance company comes into play in analyzing the terms of an insurance policy when they're expressed terms to be read.
Mm-hmm.
But continuing with where we looked at this endorsement is that it expanded the coverage with respect to the type of vehicles covered, but it also, and separately, increased the coverage to an additional party. We do not deny at all that this endorsement increases the coverage to an additional party. But it also, by this endorsement, increases the scope of the kind of vehicles covered. If this is standard to Great West, I could not answer why they would do it that way. But what we're faced with is a policy that expands coverage. And we believe that the district court departed from the kind of analysis the state of Illinois says should be with respect to insurance policies.
Who is insured by this policy?
The driver of the vehicle that struck my client's wife.
What entities were insured?
A company called Northern Transit, Inc., which was a family-owned business. I believe it was the grandfather of the driver of the vehicle that struck my client's vehicle.
Plus these other, they weren't included in any endorsements?
Excuse me?
Traditional insureds?
Yes, there were traditional insureds. It's a very large policy. The policy is in the record and in complete form on the defendant's motion for summary judgment. But there are a number of endorsements of varying types. I didn't believe I had a very long argument here today, but I would ask the court to take a look at the plain language and apply it and read that first. And if you don't see an ambiguity, apply those terms and find that there is, in fact, coverage in this policy. But even if there is ambiguity, the doctrine in Illinois is that the terms of the policy are to be strictly construed against the insurer. We would ask you to do that on a de novo standard of review.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor. Davis. Mr. Morgans?
May it please the court, counsel. My name is David Morgan. I represent the plaintiff appellee, Great West Casualty Company. And as counsel stated, this is an argument over the meaning of an additional insurance endorsement. The endorsement itself is attached to appellee's brief at pages supplemental appendix 1 and 2. There are two additional insurance endorsements identical except for the names of the additional insurance. All that the additional insurance endorsement do, by their very terms, are to add some entities as additional insurance under the commercial auto part of the policy.
But don't they also expand coverage?
If they expand coverage, it's only with respect to the additional insurance.
No, that's not my question. Your if is not an answer. Doesn't it extend coverage?
It extends coverage to additional entities.
No, but doesn't it widen the coverage? Because it says it applies to all trucks.
No, it does not.
Why
the reason
not?
Is this. That language applies to all trucks is a reference. It appears in a section called Schedule. And the schedule is identified at the bottom of that endorsement as identifying the autos to which the additional insured endorsement coverage applies.
Well, trucks, all trucks doesn't mean all trucks. It means trucks specified in the, whatever the...
As to the additional insured, only.
This is very confusing. At the bottom it says, coverage provided by this endorsement applies to autos described in the schedule on this endorsement. And the covered autos on the endorsement is all trucks.
Correct.
So isn't that broader than the coverage of the original policy?
Yes, it is.
So these insureds have more protection than Bushman.
They have limited protection because there are provisions in the endorsement that basically provide that the coverage is only with respect to the conduct of the insured, meaning really the name insured, shown in the who is insured provision. All this endorsement does, Judge, is to modify the who is an insured provision by adding entities as additional insured.
I know, but it's puzzling that the additional insured has more protection because if Bushman drives, a small truck?
Yes.
He's not covered, but they are. Northern Illinois and the other additional.
I'll point out, however, Your Honor, that those additional insureds are only covered if they're liable for the conduct of a named insured.
Yes, of course. Now, well, for the additional, I'm sorry, additional insured are the home builders company and the state.
Correct. It's important to note, neither Bushman nor Northern Illinois Transit were additional insured. There's no contention.
If Bushman drives a small truck, he's not covered.
Correct.
But if he's driving a small truck and the additional insureds are somehow liable, they are covered.
Yes.
So what is the logic of that?
The additional insureds
would have a wider, you say, more limited coverage, but they have to be proven liable. But if they are shown to be liable, there's wider coverage.
There's wider coverage in the sense of the...
Yeah, and why is there wider coverage?
Because the endorsement is intended to protect parties such as Jefferson Home Builders who require Northern Illinois Transit to add them as additional insured under the policy in the event that they are sued, that is the additional insured is sued for the conduct of Northern Illinois Transit or Bushman. One does not know what type of vehicle will be involved with a Jefferson Home Builders.
Okay, they don't, all right.
What are the entities insured by this policy?
The entities insured by the policy are Northern Illinois Transit,
which is what?
It's a trucking company.
And that's Bushman's employer or his alter ego or something?
Bushman was driving the school at the time, and I believe that, as counsel said, he's the grandson of the owner of Northern Illinois Transit, which owned the vehicle, but not in the work of Northern Illinois Transit by any means. He was driving the school.
All right, then the other entities under Northern Illinois Transit are what? You've got Jefferson Home Builders, Inc., Culpeper Wood Preservers.
Yes. And the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania were added as additional insureds by this endorsement to that policy. The endorsement specifies what it does. It only applies to the commercial auto coverage part, which means it doesn't apply to the commercial general liability coverage part. And it only changes the policy to the extent it says it does, which is that it modifies the who is an insured provision of the main body of the commercial auto part, which is at page 3 of 13, to add these entities as insureds under the policy if they're liable for the conduct of,
in other words, Northern Illinois leased vehicles from those entities.
Possibly. I do not know the relationship, nor does the record show.
Well, it says it applies to trucks, tractors, trailers, owned, leased, hired, rented, and so forth.
Which are used by the named insured. Yes. That's the universe of vehicles covered by this endorsement. And I will concede it is somewhat different than the universe of vehicles covered by the main body of the policy as to Bushman and Northern Illinois.
Why was Northern Transit, is that what it's called?
Northern Illinois Transit.
Why the exclusion of the small trucks?
Because they insure a trucking company, and it's intended under these policies that commercial truckers are going to be transporting goods normally when they have the accidents that these policies are underwritten to cover. Smaller vehicles are not so intended normally, and you'll note that the policy also has a provision that says passenger vehicles, and a pickup truck would be of any size, would be a passenger vehicle if it's not used for commercial purposes or used for non-business purposes, even if it's a large pickup truck. So it's commercial activities of the insured that this policy is intended to cover, and the Westfield policy, as the record shows, was defending these people in the case.
Drivers require, those vehicles require additional certification for drivers, right?
Oh, commercial, yes, you have to have a commercial driver's license in order to operate a truck in commerce, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, no more questions? I've completed and I've asked for a phone.
Okay, thank you,
thank
Mr.
you.
Morgan. Mr. Davis, how much time do you have? 2 minutes? Mm-hmm.
I only have a few remarks. To the extent that Jeffrey Bushman was driving to school and the vehicle was not used for a business purpose, the state of Illinois has articulated that any policy that has a business use exception is against Illinois public policy. And that can be found at state line.
Is this something you've argued to...
This was argued below. It's
your appeal brief.
Well, to the extent that this is de novo, and then you would go back to look at what our prior memoranda argued, you would find that at page 8. Because if you recognize the business use exception, I wanted to inform the court that that does not apply in Illinois. And that is my only extra remark, unless you have any questions.
Well, thank you very much to both counsel.